The program is called Lawrence and Taylor, and this is 590 WKZO.
We call it Lawrence and Taylor. Why?
Because we liked the football player. No, actually.
Okay.
Actually, it's because, oddly enough, my last name is Lawrence, and...
Oh, yeah, my last name's Taylor.
There you go.
Well, there you go.
See, there was a reason for it all along.
Of course, yeah. There was logic behind that. I know it eluded you.
Yeah, I know. But, I just figured it out.
Yeah, took you a while.
But... I thought maybe Roger was once again trying to flip the name of the show.
Nope. He was expecting me to do it at that point. And I would never do it then.
See, there's a reason why I always introduce every break. It's just this, there's a reason for that.
Yes.
But anyway, welcome to the show. Glad you're here. We're here talking about, we've been spending a good solid time, last hour here, talking about the pot markets in Colorado.
Yeah.
Apparently... things are going pretty well there. The tax revenue they expected on that far exceeded their hopes, according to the governor of Colorado, John Hickenlooper, we're enjoying
saying that.
Yeah, so it's just say it once. It's enjoyable.
Hickenlooper.
There you go. See, that's great fun. Anyway.
You want to try it?
Sure. Hickenlooper.
Yeah. Oh, that's, it's fun. You know,
that made me feel good.
Yeah. Just gives you that glow inside.
But, well, we won't say what pot does for you either. But we've been talking about that. And, you know, with the idea of revenue coming in, is it a good idea for states to look at this and say, well, maybe we should legalize this, get a little bit more money in that otherwise the state would not see?
Yeah.
Love to get your call on that. We've taken several calls. But if we haven't taken yours yet, give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. 382-4280. 877-382-4280, or you can text us.
80373.
There you go. Now, before we get to anything else, Brian's been waiting on the line for a little while, so we want to get to him here. Brian and Lawton, welcome to the program.
Hi, guys. One thing, we should really be cautious and go slowly, because there's a lot more to it than just some new tax revenue. There's the costs from medical treatment due to the substance abuse. How about maybe lost worker productivity and things like that? The Human Health and Human Resources Department just announced here within the last couple weeks, I heard it on NPR, that mental illness treatment and substance abuse treatment must be covered just like medical care under insurance programs. So... there's no virus or bacteria floating around the area that causes people to become drug addicts. It's a choice.
Mm-hmm.
But now we, as consumers of medical insurance, by decree of the government, are going to have to subsidize, because you know how insurance works, right?
Certainly.
The more claims, the more the premium goes up. For people who choose to do something that's can be destructive and... you know, if you look at research, very, very often leads to, you know, the self-destructive behavior, and the success in the treatment programs is pretty slim as we look at most of these celebrities who choose to go that route, where they're in rehab several times. Now we're going to be paying for that through our medical insurance.
But Brian,
I think that's a big, big problem. It's tragic, but should others who choose not to do that be required to pay extra to subsidize those who are choosing to, I would say, destroy their lives?
But, Brian, it's not like marijuana isn't out there in people's hands and isn't readily available everywhere in the country. If we were introducing something new, I guess I would understand your logic. But organized crime has made billions of dollars selling marijuana for years, and it's not like it's not readily available.
If a state were to make it legal and then take the tax revenue and pay and use that to pay for the treatment, so that the people that are using are paying for their treatment, I still wouldn't agree with the use. But that would make more sense to me than having people like me who choose not to do that required to subsidize it through the medical insurance.
Do you consume alcohol?
I do.
And alcohol has all of those same issues. Do you think people who don't drink alcohol should pay for the substance you choose to enjoy?
I do not think that any substance abuse treatment should be paid for through medical insurance, period. So if somebody chooses to drink in excess and become an alcoholic, which I do not do, I do not drink in excess.
Well, I wasn't accusing you of
that. That's a choice. Well, I realize that, but I'm saying a person doesn't need drug treatment or alcohol treatment unless they do that in excess. The drugs, however, once you legalize it, there are going to be more people doing this. My big problem is with requiring the medical insurance to pay for the drug treatment, because it's a continuous revolving door for those people that go to that level of extreme. And I think as we, as a society, legalize more of these destructive behaviors, then the more and more demand there will be on our resources for the treatment. And it's tragic, you know, and it affects some people, just like some people are more prone to alcoholism than others. There probably is more same kind of consequences with drug use as well.
So you don't think alcohol issues should be treated as an illness either?
No, because it's a choice. You're not. There's no virus or bacteria floating around that makes a person an alcoholic.
Okay.
A person chooses to drink. So when I drink, I have a beer or a wine with a meal.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. I don't ever drink more than one or two.
Okay.
And that's a choice. I saw too many people when I was in the military ruin their careers with excessive drinking.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was very easy just to have one or two and then be done.
Brian, I tell you what, though. I mean, I think, you know, you've got an angle on this we haven't seen yet, and it's interesting. Because, you know, as you legalize something like this, I think you will see more people want to try because the stigma is not there. And then you might very well have people that suddenly find that they're among those that are more likely to be addicted. So it's an interesting call. I think it's something worth looking into.
Yeah, and then just take time to watch what happens. I mean, how is it going to affect Colorado and Washington? You know, is everybody going to lay around, you know, stoned and going, whoa, man. You know, I was in the military when the urinalysis testing started.
Mm-hmm.
I was in for a year before they started it, and guys would, you know, get off duty and go, you know, go out of town or go to their apartment out of town or whatever and get wasted. And a year or two later, the entire attitude of the people changed drastically.
Sure.
Because those that kept doing it got kicked out. Those that wanted to be professional stayed in. And so there's a, you know, if I could wave my magic, you know, legislative wand, I would have all public employees and public servants do urinalysis testing just like they do in the military. We got, you know, 30 years of documented science to prove that. So anyway, thanks,
all right,
guys.
Well, Brian, appreciate it. We have to get on to some other callers here. Thanks for that call. Moving on now to Beverly in Portage. Beverly, you're on with us. Go ahead.
Yes, well, I'll try to make this real short, sweet, because we've been talking, but where did the plant come from in the first place? Who planted that? God planted that plant on this earth for some reason. Everything that's on this earth was planted by him for some purpose. And maybe it's mankind to find out what it's for.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my son was on painkillers, went to marijuana, went to heroin, went to go to cocaine, all that because of pain.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I just feel that why can't they make this legalized? Maybe it'll cut down on crime. I don't know. But that plant was put out here for a purpose. Why can't it be used to the extent that it's supposed to be used for people who suffer? You can pay people that grow. They get paid. They sell it to somebody else. There's revenue all over, the extra revenue over the state. We really governized by, you know, very, very watch very carefully.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's a good idea. Why did he put that here? What's the reason? And it's not all people with drugs. Maybe it would cut down on the selling it, and maybe this billions of dollars you say it's going for the drug dealers. Maybe some of that money could be put in this state for some things we could use right here. But I would say it would definitely have to be governed very, very tightly with exceptions and rules and regulations. And they put it on the books. They can always take it off. I mean, they can stop this if it doesn't work. But I think they ought to just legalize it and end a lot of this and see what happens. I think God will really appreciate that you're using something that he's put here for people.
Thank you, Beverly. You have a good afternoon.
Right, same to you.
We have a text.
Yes.
People driving high on marijuana may get tickets for not going on a green light or perhaps driving too slow. And but anything that makes you not drive like everybody else is driving makes you a hazard. And that's why there's a minimum speed on the highway. You can't drive at 25 down I-94.
Well, and that's the thing, though. I mean, if you're driving under the influence of anything out there, you know, whether it's alcohol or if it's marijuana or if, you know, you've been, you know, heaven forbid, sniffing glue or something like that, you know, it's still under the influence. That's still a bad thing. And I just tend to think that if you legalize this, you're going to see an uptick in people that are under that influence because, you know, the stigma from the whole idea of going out to get it to begin with is gone. People are going to try it. They just naturally will. Let's head on over to the phones again. Barb is standing by in Portage. Barb, go ahead.
Hi.
Hi.
This is the first time I've called in, so I'm a little nervous with
You're just talking
just
to us.
Don't be nervous.
Yeah. Nothing to be nervous about.
Well, you know, Michael's around. You can be nervous around him, but not us.
All right. When I turned on the radio, I heard the end of a conversation that you were having. I don't know the guy's name, but he was saying that drug addiction and alcoholism is a personal choice.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to really say that is not true.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. These things are genetically based. Addiction is truly a medical disease. And it can get turned on by a number of different things. When he was seeing people take a couple of drinks and then not stopping, that was not a personal choice. That was because their bodies and their minds were reacting differently to it than his. His body does not have that biochemical attraction to the substance. But the other people who can't stop as easily have a tough time because of the physiology and the psychology of the drugs.
Well, that would also explain addiction to gambling, which isn't substance abuse.
Yes, that's correct. I guess you're right. It has to do with the way the mind is working, and we don't understand all of that. But I think those people do deserve medical treatment, just like any physical illness does.
Most countries on the planet treat drug addiction as an illness, not as a criminal activity.
Exactly, and I think they have much better outcomes as a result.
Mm-hmm.
So I would like to speak very strongly in favor of mental illness and addictive illness being treated for individuals who suffer from that.
Okay. Well,
good
Barb,
point.
Barb,
yep.
There you go. You've just had your platform.
Did we make you feel comfortable and welcome?
Oh, yes.
See,
I went
you
ahead
can,
and said my piece, so that was a good thing. And
you
now
can
I'll call
back
again.
Okay, you do right. That.
Yes, absolutely.
Have a good
Thank
one.
You.
Thanks,
Bye.
Barb. All right, let's take one more phone call here from Tom in Kalamazoo. Tom, go ahead.
Yes, I have a history of alcoholism and addictions in my family, so there is the genetic
predisposition there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Yeah, and I saw what drinking was doing to my older brother as a child, and I made a personal choice, and that was to never drink alcohol because I might just like it. And so, yes, it is a matter of personal choice. I've never had an alcoholic drink, and I am not an alcoholic.
But
now, I may have been had I chosen to start drinking.
Mm-hmm. But can't you see a case where somebody didn't have the benefit of seeing the negative impact on an older brother or a parent and not knowing they had a genetic predisposition? You were lucky enough that you were aware of it before you got involved with alcohol. But some people only discover that once they're in the big muddy with it.
It's still a personal choice. I chose not to, and you can turn on the news and see all you need to see about the damage and destruction caused by consumption of alcohol in excess.
Why do you think so many other countries treat it as an illness then?
Because that is the popular thing, but there are some countries that treat it as a criminal offense. So not all countries treat it as an illness, some do. The problem is, it is widespread, and that being the case, people have to treat it with respect, if you will, or understanding of the dangers involved. And yes, I was fortunate enough to see the effect early enough that I was able to avoid.
But there's lots of people who aren't that fortunate.
Well, they need to choose not to do it.
Okay. Thanks for calling in.
Mm-hmm. All right. And at this point, we are sadly up against a break, so...
But if you're on the phone as, is that Melanie?
I believe that's it. Melanie, yes.
We'll get to you, Melanie. Just hang in there.
All right. Program continues ahead. It's called Lawrence and Taylor, and you've got it right here on 590 WKZO. Program called Lawrence and Taylor continues on 590 WKZO. And as promised, we're going to go to Melanie on the line. Melanie, we don't have a great deal of time, so go ahead with your point quickly.
Okay, hi, guys. I just had a quick question. In the states where marijuana is legalized, are businesses allowed to still screen for marijuana usage in their urine drug screens if they require that to qualify for employment?
I would imagine so. I know there are many businesses that won't hire you now if you use tobacco, and tobacco is legal in Michigan, and yet Western Michigan University won't hire you if you use tobacco. So, yeah, I'm assuming they can still declare they don't want employees to have marijuana.
Oh, okay, even if it is a legal substance.
Yeah,
certainly.
Okay, and then there was just another kind of a food for thought question I had.
Sure.
I'm wondering, can we really equate marijuana usage with alcohol usage? I could have one drink and I'm not drunk or even buzzed.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I can have one joint and not be high. I don't know. I've never used it. So that's the one thing that really keeps me from, I kind of go back and forth whether or not it should be legalized, because I think there is so much inherent danger in using that substance recreationally, from just operating vehicles and, people at work, you know, what kinds of jobs they do, that really impairs judgment. So,
what impact that's going to have on you down the line from them in your job?
Yeah, yes, and that's why I really don't think, even though alcohol, yes, it is abused, and it is a legal substance, tobacco is a legal substance, it's abused, but I don't know if we can equate them as being equal. I really have a hard time with that, but yeah, I was just curious about whether or not people in states where the jobs, if they can be refused a job based on marijuana usage, if they would still be able to do that.
All right, Melanie, we got to go. Thanks for your call.
Okay.
Appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you.
Lawrence and Taylor, 590 WKZO. My name is Jeremy Lawrence.
I'm Raj Taylor.
And over there we have Michael.
The Wonder Producer. He did something good during the newscast, and so he got his wonder back.
There you go. And he's waving and all of that stuff.
Thumbs up.
For those of you listening on a black and white radio.
Yeah.
Everybody can see that.
Yeah, of course. Because, you know, they have a good imagination, I guess. So. See, they're already you've got this picture of you as, like, you've shaved your head.
Yeah. They think of me as bald.
No, I'm the bald
guy. No, he's the bald guy.
Yeah. Well, they think of me as mostly bald then.
That's true. That's true. But I have to give you this credit. This week, I think you officially have more hair than Roger does.
So, yeah, I'm back to, you know, being I'm being the guy who has the most hair again.
I got more on the side, but you got hair up where the sun shines.
Yeah, I don't want to get sunburned.
Right. There you go.
You know, if the sun ever does decide to return.
What is this?
This thing you speak of?
That you speak of.
I don't know. I've been blinded by it since yesterday.
Have we seen that lately? I don't know. Well, I know I don't have to ask this question, Roger, but I'll ask it anyway.
Okay.
Because, you know, I want to hear. Are you ready to give something away?
No.
Okay, we'll move on and do something else then.
No, I'm not in the mood now.
Of course. He's going to be contrary. I'll let him sit over there and be contrary. And I'll give something away.
Yeah.
How about that? All right. Now, in case you're wondering, all right, you're giving something away. Let me tell you what we're giving you. Now, what I have in my hand is 4 tickets for a movie that is opening this weekend.
Ooh, you can take friends.
There you go.
See, I'm getting excited already.
See, it doesn't take long.
It doesn't take long at all.
I get into this giveaway stuff.
Well, the movie is 3 Days to Kill. It's the one that's got Kevin Costner in it. He's getting back into making movies.
Regularly.
So new one is opening up. This is an action movie, so you'll want to check this one out. Celebration Cinema is where you go to check it out. That's the one in Portage behind the mall.
With the good food.
Great place. I mean, you get good food. You got definitely good seating there. Mm-hmm. There is not a blocked view in the place.
You can have the vibrating seats if you'd like.
They do have that there with the little motion sensing things. And they've got an IMAX there, too, if you're into that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So now, I don't believe that 3 Days to Kill is in the IMAX.
Okay.
I don't know if I could handle Costner that big. But
or loud.
Yeah.
Or that loud, particularly an action movie there. But no, but that's 3 Days to Kill, 4 tickets, so you can take 3 of your friends with you. Now, how about this?
That's not the end of it, is it?
Now, if you were just going to do that, you would be a hero to your friends right there.
Oh, yeah, take 3 friends to the movies?
But how about this? There's a Harding's right around the corner from the movie theater. So imagine yourself, you've gone, you've seen this movie, and then you get to go to Harding's to pick up not just any pie, mind you, but a Grand Traverse Pie Company pie.
Mm-hmm.
You could get yourself a cherry pie, an apple pie. They do chocolate cream as well. And that thing we were talking about yesterday, the ABC.
Yeah.
Apple, blueberry, and cherry together.
All together.
Which already I'm just sitting here going, I want some.
My mind is blown.
I want it now.
You know, if you were tuned in to our previous discussion and have the munchies, this would be perfect.
Yeah, you and 3 friends have the munchies and you get some pie.
There you go. After seeing a movie going, cool, man.
Wouldn't even get home.
Yeah.
Right out in the car.
But what we have for you, we got those 4 tickets to the movie. We got a certificate for the Grand Traverse Pie Company pie, courtesy of Grand Traverse Pie Company and Harding's Friendly Markets. You can pick it up at any of the locations that they've got in Portage, 2 locations of Portage, 1 in Kalamazoo, Galesburg, and Richland as well. And that certificate and the tickets will be yours if, and I say if, you would call us at 382-4280 or 877-382-4280 and be able to answer the dumb, stupid, ridiculous trivia that Michael is about to lay on us.
Yes.
And the phones are already lit up.
See, they
and they don't even know the question.
Just ask for the answer when you pick up the phone.
Yeah.
And the answer to the question is?
And hopefully people won't be Googling when I'm, you know, they're trying to get the answer. And I'm like, come on.
All right. Let Michael give the question here, and then we'll see if they know it.
All right, so today the United States women's hockey team fell to Canada 3-2 in the Olympics, and yes, I was really depressed about that.
It's a sad day, yes.
So the trivia question's going off of that. When was the last time the United States women's hockey team won the gold medal at the Olympics?
Okay.
And this would have been easy if they'd won today.
Of course.
But it's not. So
it's a little more difficult.
It's a little more difficult.
And this is the last time the women's hockey team. You have to specify that so that people can know, because there's a difference there.
Yes.
So it's all over for them. Is that correct?
It's all over. They took home the silver medal.
Okay. Oh. They get the silver. Well, that's not horrible.
Yeah. So
I don't have a silver Olympic medal, do you?
No.
Yeah.
So one more time with the question.
Okay.
When was the last time the United States women's hockey team won the gold medal at the Olympics?
Okay. There you go.
382-4280, 877-382-4280.
Mm-hmm. You know, I'm still thinking, you know, we mentioned it yesterday, I'm still thinking about that pie, the ABC.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to have to try this at some point.
It is good.
I'm just thinking, because for me, you know, apple pie, that's good.
Mm-hmm. Blueberry pie?
Certainly, yes.
Cherry,
and then you put them together, it's like you're going from single A ball up to the majors. You know, you're making that jump there.
And if it had a crumble topping, it would be like dying and going to heaven.
There you go. So it's interesting that they're doing, and interesting that they're starting to carry this at Harding's. I think that's a real win for them.
Oh yeah.
You know, to be able to say, look, one of the best pies you could ever possibly have.
Well,
and we got it right here.
And their pies actually have fruit in them.
Mm-hmm.
It's not the gooey red stuff in the case of cherries. It's really full of cherries that mm-hmm. have a little stuff holding them together.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I've always said, if you see cherry pie that has one cherry in it, and that's about it, that's not cherry pie.
Right.
That's chemicals.
Right. Exactly. Exactly.
All right.
We have a winner.
Michael is holding his thumbs up. I'm assuming that's not telling us how wonderful we are.
Well, you two are wonderful. I just want to say that.
He's
okay.
Really buttering us up.
Suck up.
But no, we really do have a winner.
We have a winner. All
yes.
right.
The winner was Bob from Kalamazoo.
All right.
Was Bob already on the line and he happened to know, or did he call because he knew the answer?
I did not ask him that.
Okay. I'm just curious.
All right. So we have to know what the answer is, though.
The answer was 1998 at the Nagano Olympics, and that was the first year that women's hockey was included in the Olympics.
Hmm.
So the U.S. has not won it since then.
Wow.
16 years.
That's quite a long time. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to wait another four till we get that up there again.
Yeah.
But a silver medal is not an embarrassment.
A silver medal is an embarrassment, but the thing is they were up 2-0 with 3.5 minutes to go in the game today, and I'm sitting there screaming at the TV when Canada tied it, and then I realized I have to come into work now. I'm not going to get to see overtime. And then they lost, so it wasn't that big of a deal anyways. And I was ready to write it, put it in my sports report, United States women's hockey team. That's as far as I got. I didn't jinx it by saying, you know, final score and here's your goal scores and stuff like that. I had just got one sentence into it.
Okay.
It's a sad thing. It really
is. It was.
All right. So congratulations, Bob, for winning those tickets and the pie and we're officially jealous, I think.
He was really thrilled about winning that pie.
I bet.
As well he should.
Yes.
Absolutely. Now, here's the thing. If you're thinking, okay, I've totally missed out on the pie, I'm not going to be able to win that.
Right. We gave it away already.
Yeah. Well, I've got some good news for you. Not today, but tomorrow. We have not one, but two.
Two pies?
Two pies.
We're going to give one away in each hour?
We just might do that.
Can we do one right at the get-go of the show?
No.
Right off the bat.
He giveth and he taketh away.
Blessed be the name of the boss. Anyway.
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, we are going to continue on the program, and as we continue, should the government get involved in what kind of news you see and hear? We're going to talk a little bit about that. That story's coming out today. And, of course, your call's always welcome. 382-4280, 877-382-4280, as Lawrence and Taylor continues. Lawrence and Taylor, 590 WKZO. Well, one of the big questions that's coming up now, apparently the FCC, this is the organization that governs broadcasts and things like that, they're putting together something called the Multi-Market Study of Critical Information Needs.
Mm-hmm.
But basically what it is they want to examine the process by which stories are selected.
News stories.
News stories, okay. Yes. And they want to measure perceived station bias and perceived responsiveness to underserved populations. Hmm. Basically, the idea is, and I think you can take it certain ways. You can say, well, they're looking out for the little guy. Okay, maybe a little bit. But the other side is they're thinking, well, we think this is news. So are you covering what we think is news? And should the government be able to come in and do that kind of thing and say, well, we think this is news? You know, I don't know. That bothers me quite a bit, actually.
If I would be offended if the FCC was coming in and telling you you couldn't express your opinions, mm-hmm. or me express mine.
Certainly.
I think that's not what the FCC ought to be involved in.
Mm-hmm.
In this case, they're looking specifically at news products.
Mm-hmm.
And since everybody can't start up a radio station, there are limited numbers of them. That's mm-hmm. why the FCC's there. And to make sure that information is being distributed accurately, the news product, I think that's a legitimate thing to look at. Filling in the rest of programming, saying that you shouldn't have Mark Levin on the air, I don't think that's the FCC's business.
Mm.
But looking at news content, how the news of the city of Kalamazoo is delivered to people who live here, on the limited number of radio stations there are, that seems legitimate.
Well, and it's not just radio that they're looking at.
They're
looking in general at the media. But to me, I think it kind of goes the direction of, you know, you're getting ready, you're putting together the news, and there's someone from the government there going, yep, that's good, go ahead. Or, nope, you're not going to do that. That's what bothers me about it. Because we're talking about, at that point, a freedom of the press kind of thing. And the press needs to be able to have the freedom, separate from the government, to be able to say, you know what, this is news, this isn't news, and to be an independent organization from the government. I think if you've got that kind of regulation where somebody's going, no, that's not news, this is.
But
I mean, that's the job of news directors, that's the job of people that are in the know in that department, not somebody from the government coming along going, this is what it needs to be.
But if you have some outlet, and I won't mention any names of outlets that I suspect,
mm-hmm.
but if you have an outlet that is skewing the news for some ulterior reason,
mm-hmm.
Their personal political perspective, and using the limited public airways to spread disinformation, you don't think the Federal Communications Commission has some obligation to look at obscenity and to help define what words you can and can't say on the air? And if they find a media outlet that's deliberately distorting the news, they don't. There's no governmental responsibility there to.
I think there's something called the market, because think about this. There's not one news source. In fact, there's not even three news sources anymore. I mean, back in the days of, you know, NBC, CBS, ABC, and that was it. You know, we're in an area where there are hundreds of sources for news. So guess what? If this one isn't serving you, you can go over there and get what the news really is.
But the FCC,
I think that's your regulation right there. The market does it.
But the FCC isn't looking at newspapers and the internet. One would assume they are looking at radio and TV stations,
mm-hmm.
those entities that they license.
Certainly.
And there are not hundreds of different outlets when it comes to radio and television.
Well, actually, there are, because if you dig into it, how many local TV stations have news? How many radio stations, just like this one, have a news department that are looking at things? I mean, there you've got thousands across the country that are doing news.
But that, but that's not accessible unless you
do,
well, but you don't use that in your car. And Kalamazoo has one television station, and it has the great majority of the radio stations here are owned by two companies. Is that the kind of check and balance where the marketplace effectively regulates this sort of thing? I'm thinking not.
I don't see that because I don't think the government has business in saying to the press, here's what you should cover. That, I think, violates freedom of the press right there, and I don't think it should be done.
Is that what they're doing here?
I gotta wonder. I'm scratching my head over it.
Hmm.
Sadly, we're out of time. We're going to get together and do it again tomorrow. You know what? Tomorrow's Friday.
And two pies to give away.
Kalamazoo's news, weather, and traffic station is 590 WKZO. Kalamazoo.